the UCC General Synod that John and I attended this past summer. The Reverend Quinn Caldwell from Syracuse, New York, said this in his meditation. He said, if you go to the West Bank, to the city of Hebron, just outside the city there is a monastery. And growing there for some 600 to 800 years is this gigantic oak tree. Tradition has long held that this was the tree that is the descendant under which Abraham and Sarah entertained angels. It's long been a pilgrimage site for both Jews and Christians. It's often called the most sacred tree in the Middle East. And here's what happened. In 1996, it died. But 2 years later, in 1998, this great 800-year-old dead tree sprouted a shoot from its roots. It was small and tender and precarious and yet undeniably alive. What will happen next, no one quite knows. Now, tradition has long stated that salvation looked like a tree. Tall and great and strong, it was just one long stem, and it grew up from Jesse through David and Solomon and beyond, and it would stand forever. And it got cut down. Way back at the beginning of the book of Isaiah, long before what we read today, the prophet says this. A shoot shall come from out from the stump of Jesse. A branch shall grow out of his roots. Some of you might know that Jesse was the father of King David. David, the anointed king of Israel, the most revered of Israel's kings. And God's promise through Isaiah was that the chosen anointed line of leaders by which Isaiah's time had been removed, decimated by the Assyrian invasion. Isaiah reminded the people of Israel facing such war and calamity that God will be true to God's promises, and that a root shall come from the stump of Jesse. In fact, the Jesse tree is an image with Jesse reclining at the roots, and way at the top of the branches there's Jesus resting at the top. For we Christians, we believe that God was indeed faithful. Faithful to God's promise that indeed a shoot would come forth from the stump of Jesse and salvation would come again to all the people of Israel. And we believe that it did. That Jesus is a fulfillment of that promise. From the line of David, he is the fulfillment of God's promise. Salvation to the nation of Israel and beyond. Jesus predicts his betrayal and death three times in the Gospel of Mark. And many Christians believe this is evidence of that Jesus was somehow magical. And while I do believe that Jesus was divine and the presence of God was pleased to dwell in the person of Christ, I don't think he's magical in this instance. I think he is strictly logical. This is probability we're talking about. How many times do you need to poke a bear before you get mauled? It's probability we're talking about, peeps. I mean, how many times do we need to see people get run over by oppressive or corrupt institutions of power? We know this happens. This happens in our very day and time. Martin Luther King Jr., Dietrich Bonhoeffer, one of Pastor John's favorite readings and theologians. Oscar Romero. The protester at Tiananmen Square. Lightning, yikes. The early abolitionists who are our ancestors. Those who fought for voting equality for women and African Americans. All of them were cut down. They were all cut down. Because this is what happens when you face off against evil. This is what happens when you question long-held prejudices, ideologies, and oppressive systems. And yet that's what Jesus was doing in his ministry. He was loud and he spoke out against a repressive religious system as well as a repressive political system of the Roman Empire. And he didn't get crucified because he was too spiritual. He didn't get crucified because he was just too nice of a guy. He would have been stoned for blasphemy if that was the case, but no. Jesus got the political punishment for enemies of the state when he was hung on that cross. And it wasn't a magical thing that Jesus predicted his own death three times in the Gospel of Mark. He knew the risks. And for some of his disciples, maybe he was too on the edge, too out there, too visible, too public, too political. And yet for Judas, he was not out there enough, not enough on the edge, not violent enough. After all, that's Judas's last name. His name is Iscariot, which is a name for the knife that the zealots would use to assassinate and kill and harm. Those zealots who believed in violent resistance to Rome and the temple. Jesus was too wild and too out there for the scribes and Pharisees, the Herodians, the followers of Herod, who benefited from the system. And yet, the zealots were another type who benefited from keeping people apart in that us versus them mentality. And so they expected a violent resistance. And Jesus just wasn't that. He was too nonviolent, too slow-moving for Judas, who ended up betraying him. That's what happens when you mess with the system of us versus them and state that there is no us versus them. There's only us. A root shall come out of the stump of Jesse, Isaiah said. And Isaiah was Jesus' favorite book. He quotes it more times than any other book in the Bible. And from reading the prophet's words time and time again, I think Jesus had something bigger in mind than just being the oak of righteousness. I'd like to think that Jesus knew about Jurupa Valley, California. And Reverend Caldwell, he said that he'd like to think that Jesus was somehow able to look halfway around the world to the place that would one day become the city of Jurupa Valley. And there he saw the Jurupa oak. The Jurupa oak is a species of Palmer's oak. It's just a little thigh-high shrub. It doesn't really look much like a tree. It's like a little scraggly bush. But there's a bunch of them, some 70 stems spread out in a wide oval. And periodically, fire will rage across the hill where it lives, reducing this particular shrub, this particular tree, to ash. Yet this is where this particular tree thrives. It is adapted to its environment. So when that fire spreads through, it's been storing energy in its roots for just such an occasion, and there, pop, that's how it grows. That's how it spreads. It's through the fire. It exchanges the ash from the fire for beauty. Now, because there are no wood rings or old wood left behind, we can't date this tree accurately, but scientists can estimate. And while some claims to its age are three times as much as this, the scholarly consensus is that the Jurupa oak is in the neighborhood of 13,000 years old. 13,000 years old. That's older than Jesus. That's older than Isaiah. That's older than agriculture. And if these estimates are correct, the Jurupa oak is one of the oldest living things in the world. For 13,000 years, time and time again, this tree has been patiently growing along, waiting for a crisis to reduce it to ash, and then exchanging beauty for ashes and spreading ever outward. Generations and generations after Isaiah made his prophecy, the young man Jesus would astonish everyone in his hometown synagogue by standing up and reading a passage out of Isaiah and claiming that it was fulfilled in him. He was the good news, he said. He is the binder up. He is the proclaimer of liberty, the comforter. I am the oak of righteousness, Jesus said. And I have good news for the oppressed. I will free the captives. I will hand out forgiveness and mercy. And where you create ash, I will give beauty and loveliness and gentleness. And this will be the salvation of the Lord. He said these things, and they did not happen. And so the ruling powers, they laughed at him, but he kept saying these things. And so the ruling powers did what corrupt systems always do when people threaten them with justice, with beauty, with mercy. They killed him. And Jesus told his followers that this would happen, that he would come again, but each time his followers, his disciples, were afraid to ask. And I would argue, we are still afraid to ask, Jesus, what exactly do you mean? What does it mean you will die and you will come again in 3 days? We are still afraid to ask that question. They cut down the last shoot of Jesse, the last branch of David. They cut down the last and only heir to God's own anointing. But here's the thing. Maybe once upon a time, the tree of Jesse was like that old oak of Abraham in Hebron. The only thing it could hope for is just one lonely shoot every 500 years. Just one shoot that could be snipped off by a pair of child's safety scissors. But you see, by the time Jesus showed up, God had seen the fire roll across this earth too many times. He'd watched the wars and the famine and the violence too long not to be ready for it. And so you see, by the time they cut Jesus down, the tree of Jesse had evolved. When the fire passed over and cut him down, he was like the Jerupa oak in California, and suddenly there were 12 of him. And they were saying, all with the same DNA, all with the same heart, all with the same spirit, these disciples who were afraid to ask what Jesus meant, finally got what he was teaching them all along on that road to Galilee. They stood up and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they said, I have been anointed to preach the good news, to free the captive, and to release the prisoner. And they cut them down. But then 70 sprang up and they said, I've been anointed to preach good news. Let there be building instead of devastation, peace instead of war. And they cut them down. And then 70 times 70 people sprang up and said, I've been anointed to preach good news. This is the year of God's Jubilee, the year that debt will be forgiven and persons will matter more than corporations or institutions, that poor farmers and struggling workers should eat, and we will organize and we will sign petitions and we will witness in our streets to this truth, and we will occupy until every prisoner is free and the righteousness will spring up before the nations. And if they cut them down, Jesus will spring up again and again and again until all the world is a green, rustling grove of God's own planting and everyone is chanting, I have been anointed to preach the good news. Yes, they did cut down the last shoot of the tree of Jesse, and they betrayed him and they said he was too political, too radical, too heretical. But he sprang up high, and he was you. You have the same DNA. The same spirit that was in Jesus is in you. That is the gift of the Advocate, the Holy Spirit. And this will be the green saving of the world. From ash shall come beauty. You see, the Jerupa oak. The Jerupa oak is one of the oldest living things in the world. 13,000 years old. But God's promises are older still. And God's promises live in you. We are anointed. We have the same DNA as Christ. Congregation, can you join together? Can you say, I am anointed? Can you say, we are the root of Jesse?
We are the root of Jesse.
Can you say, amen?
Amen.
Amen.